to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 75 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Milestone episode right here, number 75. This has been so much fun. I can't believe it's show number 75. At this rate, should hit 100 episodes this season, which I'm excited about. I think that's pretty cool. And I can't wait to finish out the rest of the season. But right now, it's episode 75. What an awesome weekend of racing, both with the trucks at Motorsports Park on Saturday night and the Cup guys at their first road course of the season at Sonoma. And I'm going to get into all of that and a lot more here on episode 75 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Eric Zalen's back in the house rocking the Lap Traffic gear. He's got a koozie. He's got a shirt. He's more decked out than I am, which is very cool. Awesome show set for you guys here coming up in just a couple of minutes from NBC to promote not only the upcoming NBC portion of the NASCAR season, but also to talk about his new book, Leading the Way. Legendary crew chief from the NBC booth, Steve Letarte, will be on. I am so excited. I had reached out to NBC because the show's had a couple people on from there, and I said, hey, you know, your season's kicking off. You guys want to set something up? And honestly, like a week or so went by, and then I finally heard back from them, and they were like, hey, how would you like to have Steve Letarte on? And I about fell off my chair when I read that email. I'm like, absolutely, here, why don't you twist my arm a little bit? So yeah, I'm very excited to have Steve on here and talk to him in a little bit. Aaron will be on a little later for his usual weather report, your lucky dog lap down picks from this weekend, fantasy updates, and an update on a listener call-in show a little bit later on. So make sure you stay tuned throughout the whole broadcast of episode number 75. Joining me on the line, legendary crew chief for Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr., collecting 15 wins and 185 top 10s in 330 races, currently part of the NASCAR broadcast team for NBC, and author of his new book, Leading the Way, making his Lap Traffic debut, Mr. Steve Letarte. Steve, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. It's an honor. How are you, sir?
Man, I appreciate being on here. I've listened to the podcast. I see a lot on social media. I'm now very thankful I got the invite. This is exciting.
Oh, the pleasure is all on this side, sir, let me tell you. So let's get started with the big news announced yesterday. You got a new book out called Leading the Way about your days working with Dale Jr. What can fans expect to find in the book, and what kind of sparked the interest for the book?
Well, you know, the whole idea of the book is just when I transitioned from the pit box to the booth and I look back on my career, those 4 years with Dale were so special. And there was somebody behind the scenes. You know, it's well documented what we did on the racetrack and our relationship. There were so many moments behind the scenes that the fans didn't get a chance to see or to hear those stories, as well as a lot of things happened not completely by chance. You know, there was a strategy involved in trying to rebuild both his career and mine. I mean, both of us were at a point where we needed an uptick in performance. And I wanted to take that, take those stories and take that, those leadership type ideas and put them in a book. And I had some ideas and my wife and I discussed it. And when we looked for someone to help us write the book, Nate's name came to mind multiple times. I've always been very impressed with what he has done over the years, back when he was at the Richmond Times Dispatch and then he was at USA Today and now co-worker with me at NBC. So it was a natural fit, but it was fun reliving those moments. And I think the fans are going to expect just that, their moments. It's not about, you know, shocks and springs. It's about people and relationships and fun stories and the ups and downs of 4 years on the NASCAR circuit.
You know, it's funny you finish that way, because it's almost like you've got my notes in front of me, which is going to lead into my next question. You know, I'm sure writing the book took some time and it was a trip down memory lane. Any particular story that as you were writing it, you kind of just stepped back and relived that moment?
You know, I really think it sounds silly, perhaps, that the biggest win of my career, the Daytona 500, should always be, I guess, in the forefront of your mind. But much like anything, as time passes, things diminish. And reliving Speed Weeks, reliving the announcement in January of 2014 that I was coming to NBC at the end of the season, reliving Speed Weeks down there, reliving the 500, reliving the rain delay, hanging out in the motorhome, waiting for the race to refire, and then winning that race was truly surreal. It was surreal that day. And every time I relive it, I look at pictures that I still have not quite got my brain around that really happened. And reliving that and telling the story to Nate, that was a ton of fun.
That's awesome. I get goosebumps hearing that just from you because I can feel the passion. I can only imagine what it must be like knowing that actually happened to you. That's so cool. Where can fans find the book? I'm seeing it sold out in a lot of places already, so that's got to be a good feeling for you.
That's a good feeling that there's that many people that are interested in the book. You can still order it on Amazon. It's on back order, from what I understand, but it should be shipping soon. It's available on Barnes & Noble, and it's also available on my own website, stevelechart.com. People go on there. There's some pictures of kind of my career, and there's an availability to buy the book from my own site. So all those three are three ways the fans can get it, and then hopefully coming this weekend at Chicago, it'll also be available trackside. I'll go out and hopefully spend some time with some fans and sign some books.
Oh, that's very cool.
Out of the Fanatic tent. And, because in the end, it was fun to write the book. It's great to cover the races. But in the end, the men and women, boys and girls that come to the races and watch these races and support the races, that's been my livelihood for well over two decades. And I want to make sure the book's available at the track. And I'm going to go out and hopefully sign a bunch of copies and just interact with the fans because they truly are what make the sport.
That's so cool. So if small transition a little bit, talking about working with Jeff and Dale, how did you prepare, or once you transitioned from Jeff to Dale, what was the biggest adjustment for you in terms of how they relayed information, communicated with you? Can you talk a little bit about the difference in crew chiefing for two legends like that?
Well, they both are so talented, but they're talented in different ways. You know, Jeff is a kind of a visionary over the length of a race. He can manage 500 miles very, very well. His talent is never in question, and his race management is probably his biggest strength. So with Jeff, it was really just understanding, understanding what he needed in the race car and trying to live up to the performance that he expected out of the race car, because if you gave him something that could compete, he would put it in a victory lane. And then when I transitioned to Dale, it was really just getting to know Dale. Him and I didn't have a very deep relationship. We kind of knew each other. He was a driver at Engine Motorsports, but other than that, that was kind of the extent of our relationship. So we just started to get to know each other, build some trust away from the racetrack so we could carry that trust onto the racetrack. And then I think what I helped Dale understand is how long these races are, 2-, 3-, 4-hour races. You know, he always had speed in his race car. He's so good at running the top right against the fence.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to damage the right side of your car and kind of give it up halfway through the race. And one thing we really focused on is let me help him. Let me help manage 500 laps. And we just had a lot of fun. It was a great 4 years. And I'm telling you, it wasn't planned, if anybody can believe it. And it took longer than it should to write the book, I'm sure. But announcing it this week has made it super exciting because I can't wait. In just a few days, you know, he's going to put on a sport coat and stand next to me in the booth, and we can kind of start writing the next chapter. I'm really looking forward to Chicago.
So all I hear you saying with that is stay tuned to part two in about another 4 years, right?
Well, you never know. I tell everyone, if they want to know what type of relationship Dale and I have, the book gives you a pretty good head start, but then tune in every Sunday because it's going to be great to watch us watch races together. I think we're going to agree a lot and perhaps disagree more than the fans are ready for. You know, he's a driver. I'm a crew chief. We have a great relationship. It's going to be fun. He's a very historic guy in the sport, and he understands the sport. It's going
to
be fun.
It's going to be fun to listen to you guys argue about tires or no tires on a pit stop with 20 to go.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, right? I got Burton and Dale now. I'm getting a little outnumbered, so I'm going to have to talk Rick Allen into being on the crew chief side.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about NBC's takeover for the NASCAR season this weekend at Chicago. A little different, starting at Chicago. Normally, it's the Daytona race. How excited are you? You kind of mentioned it a minute ago to get in the booth. What's your prep work like in terms of getting ready to take over the season midway through?
Well, I think it starts with that it's only midway through the season. It's only new to NBC. The fans have been engaged all year long. The drivers have been engaged, you know, been involved all year long. And we have been involved all year long. We've been watching the races, reading the storylines, going to the track some, prepping, doing a little practice. Because while it is now our responsibility to cover the races, when the cameras turn on in Chicago, I want the fans to know that we've been along for the whole season. This isn't just race one because it's the first race we're covering. We understand the storylines. We understand how dominant Kevin Harvick's been. We understand the stories heading into the playoffs. And that's really the idea. Fox does a wonderful job the first half of the year, and we look forward to our second half of the year. And to do that, you have to pick up where they left off. And that means be prepared, be ready. We've done a little bit of practice just so Dale can get some reps. And, you know, a lot of behind-the-scenes work. There's so many talented men and women up in NBC Sports that work in tape and graphics and all of the different places. And they do so much work. And what I love is they reach out to some of us on air and just get our opinion. Hey, how does this look? Do you think this will work for what you're trying to say? And build all that up. It truly takes an army to put on a broadcast. I'm just fortunate to be one of the few that get to wear the headset.
That's very cool. Do you guys get together and call a race together? Maybe obviously not on air, but just to, you know, get the feel, get the, you know, lead-ins and all that kind of stuff set?
We have. We've repped two or three races, a couple in studio, one at the track itself. Just to your point, it's just reps. You know, listen, to be good at TV, you have to be comfortable to talk to the public. But it's not a natural path. It is a learned, practiced, studied. It's no different than being a golfer. If you want to be a good golfer, you have to hit a lot of golf balls. Well, if you want to be good at covering sports, it takes practice and hard work. And we've put practice in over the spring each time, learn something new, learn something different. So they were definitely very valuable. And, you know, surprisingly, every time we watch the race, even at home, you know, Dale and I are texting, Jeff and I are texting, my bosses, the producers, you know, it's just it's a constant conversation as race fans. And I think that's what comes across in our broadcast more than anything, is that we are fans of the sport, just like the people at home watching. And we just want to tell you about the superstars behind the wheel and why, whatever's happening on the racetrack, why it's happening.
That's awesome. You mentioned Kevin Harvick, his dominating season, Kyle Busch, even Martin Truex and Clint Bowyer. But without fail, when the summer schedule seems to come up on the calendar, someone always seems to go out and have that hot second half. We saw that happen for years with Tony Stewart. Sitting back, watching what you've seen, if you had to pick a driver that you might think is starting to put something together to make a run at it with these guys, could you put a name to that one?
Well, I think the driver that some are starting to forget about because he's yet to go to victory lane this year is Kyle Larson. I think he's closer than everyone thinks. I think that they are figuring out that new Chevy Camaro. When the weather heats up, the tracks lose grip. When they lose grip, that suits Kyle Larson's style. That's a real general statement. But you look at Chicago this weekend, will be low on grip. Even Daytona, while it's drafting, will be lower on grip than in February. And there's a lot of unique racetracks throughout the summer. We still go back to Walker Glen, Pocono, Indianapolis. You know, the list is pretty long. So he's a driver I'm looking at. And I'm not ready to count out Hendrick Motorsports. Why? I think there's no doubt they are behind on speed, and they will tell you they're behind on speed. They managed the race in Sonoma as a team that didn't have the cars to win. Yeah. What I mean by that is that they gained those stage points. They didn't pit at certain times. And those are very smart crew chiefs, very smart race car drivers. And if they get comfortable racing in the position of not quite as much speed as the leaders, be careful because they'll put themselves in position to perhaps steal a win, gain some momentum. Remember, the playoffs are still 10 weeks away. That's when you have to be on your A game.
Sure. Nope, I'm with you. So this past weekend, first road course. Let me get just your general thought on the road course at Sonoma on Sunday.
I thought it was a pretty standard road course race, a little more Formula One than NASCAR due to the lack of yellows.
Sure.
But sometimes you have that. You know, I hear the conversations about, you know, was it a good race? Was it this? Was it that? You know, sometimes they just have to play out. I'm a big baseball fan. They're not all, you know, 9-8. Sometimes you go watch a 1-0 game. Sometimes it's a 10-0 game. Yeah. I thought the Sonoma race had a ton of storylines. I am thankful that Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex could match each other's speed, because if you remove one of those, it definitely wouldn't be as exciting.
Yes.
But those two battling in those last 35 laps, and I know it wasn't door-to-door, but it was a game of 130-mile-an-hour chess between two of the smartest crew chiefs. There was some head faking, some radio faking about when they were supposed to pit, and that only works with unbelievable execution. That's what both of those teams did. So I was entertained. I thought there was good racing all the way around the racetrack. And a different style of race for sure. But I'm a fan of variety. You know, I don't always need to have door-to-door coming to the line. I can go back and see how a team won. and Cole Pern and Martin Truex Jr., they kind of stole that one from Rodney Childers. It was exciting to watch.
Well, so as a crew chief, what did you think of that play, so to speak, in terms of a little Deke move on the radio there?
You know, as a crew chief, you learn to take advantage of every situation you're put in. And rarely can you find second place being an advantage over the leader. But Cole Pern proved when it is an advantage, which is the leader gets the pit road entry first.
Yep.
So he basically put a strategy in place. I'm pretty confident no one knew but him they weren't coming. The pit crew was on the wall. Yeah. Martin Truex Jr. was coming to pit road. And he used that ability as the second car in line to say, you know what, let's just stay out.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for that sly smile, maybe you could think he changed his mind. But when I saw that sly smile on the pit box, it reminded me of a guy that he had a plan the whole time, and it was an excellent plan.
Yep, no, that worked out. That worked out great. Last question about road course racing. It's become a lot more popular over the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years from a fan perspective in terms of a different track style other than the mile and a halves that we go to quite a bit. Are you looking forward to, and do you think the Roval is a good idea?
I think the Roval is a necessary change for Charlotte. I think the fall race hasn't got the attendance that the track deserves. It's a great facility. I think that the racing, remember we have the All-Star race there, the 600 there. So if you look at ovals other than Daytona, it has the most racing throughout the year. So I think a change to the Roval is going to be a nice change. How will that racetrack race? You know, I'm not a race car driver. I don't know. I think it's very easy to pick on the negatives. I like to look at the positives. I could buy a seat for that race and I could see the whole facility. I can't think of another road course that you can do that. You have a good mix of high speed through the bankings of the corners and low speed in the infield. I think there's got to be some give and take. You know, you hope it turns into the type of racing we want, but I think a little bit of the unknown drives the excitement. You know, I don't think you have to deliver great racing every week. What you have to deliver is the opportunity for great racing every week. And I think Marcus Smith, FMI, and everyone at Charlotte Motor Speedway has done that by creating a track, having some drivers out there. They've eliminated some corners. They've made adjustments. You know, they've been very flexible. I know that they're not flexible with the idea of a road course, and I applaud them for sticking with the plan, but they've been very flexible on the circuit, and I think they should be commended. You know, it's
absolutely
not easy to change a circuit after it's been built.
Sure.
And they're doing it. And hopefully, how about this? I don't have to worry about it being a good race because it's going to be a pressure-packed weekend. Where it's positioned in the playoffs, it's going to be a must-watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Steve, I want to thank you for taking some time to come on the Lap Traffic podcast tonight to talk about the book and some racing. Tell everyone where they can keep up with you on social media and find the book again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love social media. I get to interact with the fans. You mentioned the book. The book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my own website, stevelatard.com. And please reach out to me at Steve Letard on Twitter, at Steve Letard on Instagram. I'm very active on both. I just love it. I'm a fast-talking, ADD, 140 to 50-character type of guy. So me and Twitter get along really, really well. I love talking to the race fans on there. By all means, hit me up. Hopefully I'll respond. We'll have a great conversation. I'm excited that it's the NBC second half of the season. I'm ready to get to the racetrack and start calling some racing in person.
Excellent. Well, I will definitely tag in some stuff to help promote the show throughout the week. And who knows, maybe I'll be able to bump into you at MIS here in a couple weeks as well. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you are on the lookout for Steve's book, Leading the Way, and make sure you tune into NBCSN this weekend as NBC kicks off their portion of the NASCAR season at Chicago. Steve, thank you so much. It was an honor, and I had a blast.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks. Talk to you. Well, that may have been one of the coolest interviews that I've done. That was so cool, so awesome of Steve to take some time to come out on definitely a smaller-based media platform, if you will, and come on, promote his book, talk some racing. That was so cool, so grateful to be able to get a few minutes to talk with him. That was a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed that. All right. Well, let's get into some racing from this weekend. All right, over to the Truck Series from Motorsports Park. Grant Effinger wins Stage 1 but ends up finishing 21st. Over to Stage 2, Christian X finishes 28th. Not a winning a stage point or a playoff point through the stages this weekend did not seem to be very profitable for anybody, trucks or cup. And winner, Justin Haley. Pretty good race. So for me, the truck race, I felt had a lot of emotion with it. Next week, they're in Chicago. Entry list is not out yet, but, you know, all three series are at Chicago. So good chance a couple Cup guys might be running it. They're off the following week. Then they're back at Kentucky with the potential for a couple Cup guys to run it. Then they're at Eldora, which could be a crapshoot. And after this weekend at Chicago, there are only five truck races left before the playoffs start, which is crazy to think that after this weekend, there's just five truck races left before the playoffs. That said, it was just the truck regulars this weekend at Gateway. And for me, I kind of started to feel that there was a sense of urgency with the teams. And we saw a first-time winner in the truck series in Justin Haley picking up the win, which was pretty cool. So for me, there's definitely the momentum picking up in the truck series just with the limited races that they run and how close we are to the playoffs in terms of the truck races with all of their off weeks that they have. Some notables outside of Sauter, who finished third, and Haley, who won. Haley also has six top tens, so he's used to finishing up front this year. There were a lot of guys that were able to pick up a top 10 that might not have, nor that we would have expected to. Matt Snyder picked up his first top five of the season. Zane Smith picked up his first top five and top 10 of the season. Chad Finley picked up his first top 10. Jesse Little got his fourth top 10, so he's been up there a little bit. Riley Hurst got his first top 10. So a lot of guys you don't ordinarily see getting a top 10 got one done, which means there were quite a few people that finished outside of the top 10 that we probably would have expected to see up there. Crafton, man, he just had another rough finish and day on the track. Ben Rhodes started in a backup car. He was my pick in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. He got to the front. He went to the back. He got to the front. He went to the back again and ends up finishing three laps down. Brett Moffitt luckily finished 14th, had a shot to win this thing, but went around in the last restart. He too went from the back to the front multiple times throughout the race. A lot of folks out there, myself included, were hoping Brett Moffitt would have got to victory lane to maybe help secure some sponsorship. It is crazy to me that a team that is locked into the playoffs and has a shot to win the championship, a legit shot, in my opinion, doesn't know what their future holds. So could we please get him some sponsorship? It would be a damn shame if these guys aren't able to make it to the track each week. I know that's somewhat of an empty plea based on the audience the show reaches, not like corporate sponsors are listening, but I just personally cannot believe it. Well, I can believe it because it's auto sports and it's all driven on that, but I don't want to believe that. What about Justin Haley holding off a charging Todd Gilliland and Johnny Sauter on the last restart to capture his first career win in the truck series? That was very cool. Over to the standings. Johnny Sauter still sitting pretty comfortably in first place. Points, playoff points, you name it. Johnny Sauter's holding strong right there. Noah Gregson's in second. Brett Moffitt is in third. It's crazy. He's in third. Doesn't know when he's going to race. God, that's just, it's horrible. Trucks are back this Friday, June 29th, 9 o'clock at Chicagoland. That could be a fun one. Trucks typically tend to put on a pretty good show at a mile and a half track. So I am looking forward to that one. The Xfinity Series will be back this Saturday as well, June 30th from Chicagoland. No race this past weekend. It'll be good to get all three series out there this weekend. Looking very forward to that. Over to the Cup Series. AJ Allmendinger, first stage point, but finishes last in 38th. Denny Hamlin wins stage two. He ended up finishing all right, brought home a top 10. You know, I felt passion and energy with the truck race. There was a lot of hype around Sonoma. There was definitely a lot of hype on social media. I talked about it at length last week on the show. I know PETM talked about it in terms of road course racing. It's going to be awesome. First road course race of the season. There's been some exciting races there over the past few years. You know, it was talked about at length on the broadcasts, and if you listened on Sirius and all that, Tony Stewart's last lap pass coming out of the last turn and politely moving Denny Hamlin out of the way for a win a couple years back. All that said, as the race started, it started weird for me, and it ended weird for me. The first two stages, You know, they were predictable, especially considering the leaders didn't need to worry about playoff points and were racing for the win and wanted to get track position over playoff points. Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick were not concerned about that one playoff point in stage one and stage two that they could have had. So we knew they were going to pit before the end of the stage, which gave a guy like Dinger to get a stage win, which is good for that team. It's unfortunate that they had the finish that they did. A lot of talk about AJ Allmendinger in terms of everyone builds him up. Everyone puts him in his draft, in their DraftKings league. Some people take him in fantasy. You know, there's a lot of hype around AJ Allmendinger. It's just unfortunate that those guys have not had the finish at the road course races like you would expect them to have. That said, strategy was going to play out in stage three, and it did. Stage three, there wasn't a set time that the caution flag was going to run. There was a need to pit in terms of, from a fuel perspective, you could not run stage three to the end from stage two. Kudos to Cole Pearn and the 78 team. They put the deke move on Rodney Childers in the four team and forced the four team to pit road when the fuel window opened during stage three. 78 team stayed out. Now, that definitely could have backfired on them. Had a caution come out late stage three, maybe 30 laps to go, something like that, it would have forced all the teams to come to pit road, get tires. And then, you know, who knows? They still may have won, but they definitely would not have won by the margin that they did. Once the 78 team did end up coming down and pitted, they blew right by the rest of the field, took the lead, and never looked back. Harvick ended up pitting a second time during stage three. I believe there was about 20 to go. He was gaining, but without the help of the caution, that was too little too late, and there was just no way they were going to make up that type of a deficit on the road course with so few laps to go. Rodney even mentioned post-race he wishes they had their other car radios off and just called the race on their own. You know, hey, that's, you know, as Steve mentioned early on in the show, you know, he called a great race, and it just, it worked to their advantage like that. It worked out exactly like Cole Pearn wanted it to work out. 2 years now, we've not had a late caution at Sonoma. And, you know, I personally think it's because these guys are dialed in on road courses now. You don't see that single car spin where the car gets from underneath them when they're going in and dropping down to 30 miles an hour. They are fine tuning their road course skills. It's been mentioned all over, you know, you don't see that road course ringer out there going out and competing for a win. With this new format, you really can't, you don't bring in a road course ringer just because to get a win for the team. It's these guys need to be able to run these road courses. And looking back at road course races 10, 12 years ago and looking at them now, the drivers are just so fine-tuned. It's like they do it more than twice a year with how dialed in they are, which is pretty cool to see. But because of that, that's probably why we only had three cautions, two of which were built into the race for the stage breaks. I thought at one point, I'd even text Sherwin. I'm like, has there been a caution? And I didn't think there was, but I, you know, there was one caution for a spin. But typically you would have expected to see a few more cautions for spins back in the day anyways. Let's see here. Tough day for Larson, who started on the pole and from the drop of the green flag just dropped back. I think he got as far back as 26th, 27th. Ended up finishing 14th. Not what you would expect from a team that started on the pole at a road course. Even he, you know, you could hear him on the radio. He said, I don't know how we can start so well and have just such bad races there. Solid day by the DeBenedetto camp, finishing 17th ahead of Stenhouse, ahead of Logano, ahead of Casey Kane. Nice job by those guys. It's a tough day for Bubba Wallace, who had a rough go at it too. Solid run by Chase Elliott with a top five. And hey, how about killer job by Chris Buescher, who finished 12th? I definitely was not expecting that out of that team. Jimmy Johnson struggled early. If you even if you look at the results of where they finished in the stages, they finished third in both of the stages. But that's just because of where the other teams were pitting, and they ended up staying out just to get some points. So his 11th place finish, it was nice to see them kind of be able to put one together there. And even though the four team didn't get the win, man, what a day by Stuart Haas Racing. All four cars in the top eight, not even top 10, top eight. That's a hell of a job by that team there. Random note, just kind of putting my show sheet together and all that kind of stuff yesterday. We only have 6 different race winners right now through Sonoma heading into Chicago. At this point last year, we had 12 different race winners. So that's just a random fun fact. You can read into that how you will. Truex's win, he is definitely closing the gap and inching closer to Harvick and Busch with those playoff points. Truex is now up to 18 with Harvick at 26 and Kyle Busch at 25. I talked earlier after this weekend at Chicago, only having 5 races left before the playoffs for the trucks. The Cups, they are down to 9 races before the playoffs after this week, inching closer and closer to go time for these teams that are in the top 16 and without a win, and those on the bubble looking in, you know. Austin Dillon outside the top 16. So right now, at least one person is not going to make it on points. Who knows? Maybe there could be a couple more. So guys like Ricky Stenhouse, Bowman Jones, even Elliott, Jimmy Johnson sitting there in 12th. These guys definitely are going to be fighting for some wins where they can. It'll be interesting to see. We've got quite a few mile and a half tracks coming up. It's a bread and butter for a lot of guys, especially Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex Jr. You know, those Kevin Harvick's, it's been a few races since he's gotten a win. Heading to Chicago, mile and a half track. Does he go on a tear again for a few races? That is definitely going to be on everybody's mind as we head to the track this weekend. The Cup guys will cap off the weekend at Chicago on Sunday. All 3 series running this weekend, which I am very excited about. All right, time for some social media. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Check out the website. There's some new stuff on there, which I'll get to in a minute. Make sure you like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And make sure you download, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Blueberry, Acast, Player FM. All the good spots where you can get a podcast, you will find The Lap Traffic Podcast. All right, so this giveaway, I've been trying like crazy to get to 3,000 followers. I even tried to sweeten the pot and added an 8x10 autograph of Sonoma race winner Martin Truex Jr. Inching closer and closer. Maybe I was shooting for the stars a little too high there. Just about 40 followers away from 3,000 followers on Twitter. Go tell your friends. Go tell your grandma, your aunt, whomever. Go follow Lap Traffic so I can give this thing away. Hopefully, I can do that before next week's show on episode 76 and give that away. And we can get on to the next giveaway. But in the meantime, over to some new follower shout-outs on Twitter. Cassie, at Cassie_Labbery from Mooresville, big NASCAR and country music fan. Constance, at Connie2424 from Orange County and still a big Jeff Gordon fan. Michael Flanagan, at Mikey Budge from Michigan, just down the road in Lincoln Park, loves all forms of racing. Matt Wedgeworth at Z71Guy66 loves Anheuser-Busch and NASCAR. Those two sound like they go hand in hand. Very cool. Don't forget, on the website, t-shirts, hoodies, travel mugs, you name it, it's there if you want to help support the show. If you want some stickers or koozies, just go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send some out to you. And make sure you tweet me a picture of that, and I will put it up on the website. And speaking of the website, before the show here, I tweeted out on Twitter, Chloe Yunker, who's awesome just because she's Chloe Yunker, put together an awesome promo style video. It's a 60-second commercial, basically, of the Lap Traffic Podcast, which is very cool. I tweeted that out. I'll tweet it out a lot, and it's also on the homepage of the website. So go check out Chloe's work. She did an awesome job with that, and can't wait to see what else she ends up doing. All right, a couple silly, not necessarily silly season, because it's not silly. It's actually 2 horrible things that happened this past weekend that deserve a mention, I suppose. Shout out to Wendy Venturini, who was in a horrible accident, struck by a car while she was out jogging. If you haven't heard, she's got a concussion, skull fracture. That's just, it's just crazy. It's, you know, I don't want to get into talking about ifs and whats and all that kind of stuff with a couple of these things. But hopefully she has a speedy recovery and is back out as soon as possible. And then I'm sure we all heard about the horrible tragedy involving Jason Johnson this past weekend. If you hadn't heard, passed away in a crash at Beaver Dam Raceway. Again, just horrible circumstances this weekend surrounding the racing world. So thoughts are with everybody involved in all of those situations. And all right, it's not easy to make a transition from mentioning sad things like that, but we will move right along into our weekly weather segment with Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back as always. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. You can check out their website, raceweather.net. The wonderful, the talented Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, how are you?
I am doing well. Yourself, sir?
Excellent, excellent. It's episode 75. It's a milestone episode. Glad you're on. Glad you're part of the season.
Oh, I'm glad I'm part of the season, too, and I'm just looking forward to 100.
I mean, can't wait.
You put 75 in the can.
Yes.
It would be a great show. Can't wait to listen to it. And then we keep moving forward from here, and
yes.
I think we've got a great future working together on this stuff.
The way it is shaping out, 100 will be occurring during season two. So I might even end a season two on 100 if I can play with the dates the right way. So that would be pretty cool, too. So we'll hit triple digits this year.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
All right. So this past weekend, Sonoma, everything played out pretty much as called, as well as at Motorsport.
Yeah, that's probably one of the easiest weekends we have is Sonoma.
Not like MIS where you guys were working overtime.
Yeah. And then we got into a discussion with PETM and a couple of other people. And this goes back to a Denny Hamlin discussion. I think it was from earlier this week. Talking about trolls. And you and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
And he just pretty much says, you know, ignore them. If you got, like, don't give them the forum. But I get drawn in. I think other people do, too.
You buy in. You can't buy in.
No, I've learned that.
Yes.
I have learned that. But, yeah, so Sonoma was easy. Gateway actually verified fairly well. We had some rain interruptions on Friday during the practices, but they got everything in. And then Saturday was good, and a good night of racing. And actually, I looked and saw the numbers. The ratings were up, too. And for the first time, I think I saw that they actually issued the digital subscriber views.
Oh, really? See, they're going to have to start focusing on that to kind of – you know, bring people back in to let people know, hey, you know, people maybe aren't watching the traditional format sitting in front of a tube. You know, there are other ways to get the race. And, you know, I think that's across all sports that they're going to have to start taking into account, whether it's streaming, whether it's, all right, maybe people aren't watching, but they're watching through social media. And I mean, look at how many people live tweet the race. I mean, whether it's a beat writer like Jeff Gluck or Nate Ryan or Bob Pockris or Chris Knight. I mean, me, PETM, you can get a lap-by-lap perspective without having a radio on or a TV on, and you know what's going on.
I did that last month. I was flying to Chicago, then to Cincinnati. I read and followed the F1 race through live tweets because I couldn't get a broadcast. It was during a race. I had an idea of everything that happened.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I recorded for this past weekend something else to count, and I think they do. I recorded the Sonoma race. I couldn't watch it. I was at work, I was actually asleep because I was working overnight. And, you know, I want to watch it. I want to see what happened. I read all about it, but I still want to see it.
Yeah.
And that's got to count, too.
There's definitely – that's got to start getting into perspective, you know, because, yes, our number's down, sure. You know, but there are other avenues that people are getting it and taking it in. You know, I think the issue is are the advertisers capturing in on that? And that's what the measuring stick is. And that's, you know, they're going to have to find a way to, you know, make money off that. And then everybody will be happy.
Well, it's marketing dollars for the broadcast. But then also it's what's it worth to the sponsors, both the series sponsors and the vehicle sponsors.
Yep. Alrighty, so what are we looking at this weekend at Chicagoland? All three series running there this weekend.
Yeah, and I was actually looking at it, and it's a 4-day weekend with a truck starting practice on Thursday.
Yes.
Sunny in 89.
Okay.
And it just continues to get warmer from there.
All right. Yeah. The ACs will be cranking in the Midwest this weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah. Friday, high of 93.
Wow.
Probably cloudy skies. We're going to see a warm front go through in the morning. So maybe some real early morning showers. So it could affect the track. I know cup practice is 11:30. And so you may see a little bit of a delay. I don't think so. The bigger thing for Friday, and again in the Saturday, the heat indices are going to be in the low to mid 100s.
Wow. Yeah. I just had to say, took a breath with that one, because if that's there, that means it's coming here. So.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You're looking for, I'll get to Detroit at the end.
All right.
Saturday, mostly sunny skies. Low to mid 100s again on the heat index. That is a 2:45 start. So it is in the middle of the day. Yeah, so it'll be at the peak of the heat.
Yes. Yes.
Sunday, we actually look a bit of a break. We do see a cold front approaching and probably moving through the area. We'll see AM showers and thunderstorms, possibly severe. And then afternoon, the timing on both the forecast models that go out that far that we have really kind of faith in show it clearing out. Maybe some isolated showers around race time. It's a 1:46 local start.
Okay.
But it looks like it'll kind of clear out. Yep. So maybe we have some morning rain showers and thunderstorms, and we'll monitor those situations. But the afternoon actually looks like it's clearing out. High of 88.
Okay.
It'll be definitely not like Saturday afternoon.
I hear you saying competition caution lap 25.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That actually sounds about right. The one thing we will probably be under, or they'll probably be under, a heat advisory both Friday and Saturday. So if you're going to the track, prepare.
Drink water.
Sunscreen.
Bring water.
Just because beer is liquid doesn't mean
right.
It's water.
What would you say a good ratio? A 3-1, 3 beers to 1 bottle of water?
It depends how well seasoned you are as a race fan.
Yes, if this is your first rodeo out in like 95 degree weather at a racetrack, I would encourage a 1-1 ratio. But if
that's
you're,
exactly what I was thinking, 1-1.
If you're a seasoned vet,
work up to it. Yeah. You'll know when you're ready to go for that second beer.
Yes, if this is not your first go around, you know, maybe that 3 pushing 4-1, maybe, you know. that's awesome. And how are we looking in Detroit here?
Sorry. That's the official term right there, though.
Nice.
96 for the high on Saturday. Heat indices will probably be around 105 to 110.
Wow.
Dew points are going to be in the mid-70s. You do have that cold front kind of approaching the area on Sunday, so you will have a chance of showers and thunderstorms.
Okay.
Temperatures drop off a little bit, and then you're back in the 80s by Monday. Going in Friday, Saturday, you're sunny to mostly sunny, and heat indices around 105 to 110.
Whew, that's crazy. That is nuts. Well, sir, thank you.
So
again,
thank you. Same rules apply to you, 3-1. Even at the barbecue, even at the grill.
I can handle 3-1. That's no problem. All righty, Lab Traffic Nation. Thank you again, Mr. Aaron Studwell, for coming on for your weekly weather report. Make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter @RaceWeather and check out their website, raceweather.net. Sir, have a good weekend. Get some sleep, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
All right. We'll see you.
See you.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for everyone's favorite segment. It's time for some lucky dogs. And make sure you stay tuned at the end of this segment. I got some info on a caller show for you guys. So stay tuned. All right. Let's see here. My lucky dog of the race. How do you not give it to Cole Pearn? How do you not? He had the call of the race. Won them a race. So my lucky dog's going to Cole Pearn. My lap down. Lack of sponsors on a championship contending truck. That is my lap down. Cannot believe Brett Moffitt may not be able to run for this thing, which is a darn shame. All right, over to some tweeted responses. Tim @TTrip14's lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. finished the race with a heck of a lead, with Harvick charging, lap down, another racer gone too soon. Rest in peace, Jason Johnson. Absolutely there, sir. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick. Lucky dog Cole Pern. His team has the correct strategy. A lap down. The Ragin' Cajun gone too soon. Rest in peace. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. Strategy. 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 A lap down. Dingers missed shift equals missed opportunity. You nailed it there, Scott. Mike at Mike Tuck 12's lucky dog has to go to LeCole Pern for faking out the 14. A lap down has to go to Rodney for being faked out by Cole Pern. Can't disagree with you, sir. Brandon at Brandon underscore 1183's lucky dog is Chase Elliott. Lap down toss up between Larson and Allmendinger. Captain Redneck at Redneck underscore Captain's lucky dog. Stuart Haas racing strong all day. Lap down AJ Allmendinger. At least he still has the Glen. Here's hoping for AJ. David at DFlint14's lucky dog Cole Pern. As a Harvick fan, I must give credit where it's due. Great call. Lap down the racing family for having to deal with another untimely death of a talented racer in Jason Johnson. Thoughts are with the world of outlaw drivers, teams, and families. Very nice, sir. Like that one. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's lucky dog Chris Buescher for bringing it home in a respectable 12th place finish. He ran top 10 all day. Lap down has to be Blaney's power steering pump. Noah at NDustyA's underscore lucky dog is Cole Pern and Martin Truex Jr. with their strategy for getting the win. Lap down is Kyle Larson. He expected he would have gotten a better finish than what they've got. And Out of Left Field podcast at Out of Left Field's lucky dog. Jameson Whiskey stock should be up after this weekend with those guys. A lap down the last time they recorded an episode, Reagan was still president. Guys, got to get on the ball. Hit that record button. We want to hear some more college stories. Get on it. All right, let's get over to some messages on the Wave Around Hotline.
Twitter handle is at Cancian. So, not the most exciting Sonoma race. I think we could agree on that. It was interesting to see how the tire strategies played out. It seems like as that track gets more and more age on it, it's the tire strategy that we look at more than fuel strategy, which is the opposite from the Glen. One other thing I kind of wonder, and it's only a small sample size, but I wonder how the stages are really going to affect Sonoma moving forward, since we know when the cautions are going to come out, and that was kind of a different element now with the stages that maybe we don't need stages at road courses. I don't think we do, but I don't think we need stages anywhere, but that's just me. In terms of a lucky dog, it's kind of a not on track one. It's probably got to be the whole racing community. I see the way that we've all rallied around, you know, Wendy Venturini. We're hoping she makes a speedy recovery. And also the family of Jason Johnson, unfortunately, the World of Outlaws driver who lost his life this past weekend. So it's fun to be a part of this kind of community. And also drinking for free at the bar. Thankfully, my buddy works there and put the race on for me on Friday night. That was wonderful. Lap down is probably the Sonoma race. It wasn't that exciting. But a big loser was Ricky Stenhouse. He finished, I think, 17th or something, and lost about 10 to 15 points behind Eric Jones and Alex Bowman for the cutoff. So that's going to be fun moving forward with all the different winners we have. So thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Always good to hear from Mr. Andrew Cancian there on the Wave Around Hotline. So, yeah, so Andrew is well known for not liking the stage racing, and I got to give it to him. It was very predictable. We knew exactly what was going to happen those first two stages. I expect we'll see that at the Glen as well. Maybe not as expected at the Roval. We'll see how that plays out, you know. Could they maybe decide to take stage points away and cut out the stages at a place like Sonoma, Watkins Glen? Well, it's possible. They decided to add a fourth stage to the Coke 600 when they initially were just going to have that as three stages. So who knows? Maybe that's possible down the line, because like you said, it definitely made it predictable. We knew what was going to happen, and it literally just came down to that one stop in the third stage there. When and where was that going to happen? And, you know, how was it going to play out once we saw that? Once we saw what happened, we knew what was going to happen with Martin Truex Jr., and it definitely played out as expected. All right. We got another one here on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I am coming off a great weekend from Gateway, ARCA Racing and the trucks, and it was such a great weekend. We lost that track once and were blessed to be able to have it back again. Very, very fortunate. The racing is always good there, and it was nothing less on Saturday with that truck race. Which leads me to my lucky dog, which are the fans that showed up there. It was a great crowd. It's just great to be able to have a racetrack back like that and have the fans support it, especially coming off that Iowa weekend where, for whatever reason, the fans weren't there. But Gateway was a great crowd, and I'm very happy. And my lap down has to go to the 78, and I'm taking back all the nice things I said about Martin Truex Jr. on my last phone call to the hotline. So I'm taking them all back. That's all I have to say about that. Whatever. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling in. So cool you were able to go and see the trucks at Gateway. That's very cool. And Kathleen, a well-documented Kevin Harvick fan there. Us Kevin Harvick fans definitely lost one there a little bit. I feel your pain, Kathleen. Thanks for calling in. Thanks to Andrew and Kathleen for calling in. You want to be a part of the show, leave a message on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Let me know who your lucky dog and lap down picks are, and I will play them back on the show. And now that leads me to the little teaser that I mentioned about a show with just your calls, the listener calls, and we're going to do it. And with the help of Mr. Andrew Kansian, who I was talking to a little bit on Twitter this past week, who came up with a genius idea, and I think I can make it work. So here is what I'm thinking for a extra show. It'll be a bonus show on Thursday, July 26th. This show is going to be dedicated to you, the Lap Traffic listeners. You can call in, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about from a NASCAR perspective. It will just be your calls. That's it. And to help ensure the show will be filled, I will be taking requests and booking 10-minute time slots for each call. So if you want to be a part of the first ever show dedicated to you guys, Lap Traffic Nation, on Thursday, July 26th, go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will get you on the books. This is your show, your topics. We'll talk about whatever you want in the sport of NASCAR. And since this is the first time doing it, if we can maybe get 6 to 8 calls, I think that would be good for the show. And first 6 to 8 people to email me are in. And if it goes well and gets good reviews and responses and you guys like it, then I got no problem doing more of them. So there it is, July 26th, well in advance, so you can plan some time. I'll start calls anytime after 6 o'clock that night, or hell, even if we need to book it earlier in the week, maybe we can make something work there, and I can combine all of the calls onto one show for everybody. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, so there it is, the first ever show dedicated to the Lap Traffic calls. And if you got any questions, shoot me an email, tweet, whatever. You know I'm easy to get a hold of. All right, let's get to some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. DraftKings went okay for me, not a complete loss, but I did lose again, I think the third week in a row, to Mike and the MOATF podcast on DraftKings. I had 2 lineups that I used, and of course, the one that scored the most points and would have won me a couple bucks, I didn't have in hardly any lineups. But the day was not a complete loss, so that's all right. And all right, over to week 4 of segment 2. Week high went to John Elliott, John Warrington, and Yunker Motorsports for collecting 85 points. It was definitely a low points week this week for sure. No one picked Justin Haley in the Truck Series to win, and only 2 players picked Martin Truex Jr., and that was John Warrington and Yunker Motorsports. So nice job there, guys. Over to the top 10 in standings. Chad Robb holding strong in first with 402. Jeff Legg is in second with 380. Timothy Triplett is in third with 372. Matt Fossum is in fourth with 368. Chris Lowther is in fifth with 363. Two-way tie for sixth with 354 with Aaron Lamp and Robert Keflinger. Seventh is Tommy Witt with 349. Eighth is Jeff Hess with 348. Rika Porter with 345 in ninth, and a two-way tie for 10th with 341 between Jeff Mackin and Stuart Cribb. So it is a close ball game. It's still anybody's game for segment two. Over to the cumulative standings. Chloe Yunker still holding strong in first with 1747. Tommy Witt is in second with 1695. John Entwistle's in third with 1672. Chad Robb is in fourth with 1608. And Jeff Hess is in fifth with 1604. So there is still a chance you can climb up there into the cumulative standings. My picks for Sonoma, I had the 41 for both the truck and the cup. The truck, Ben Rhodes, was looking to maybe put together a solid finish there, but not so much. Finished towards the bottom. And Kurt Busch did okay. He finished sixth for me. But I have dropped to 20th in the standings. And that said, it is time for the picks for Chicago. All right, we head to the mile and a half track of Chicagoland and its new spot on the schedule. If you recall, this race used to be in early September to close out the regular season, but instead, we head here 2 months early in July. Martin Truex Jr. has won the last two races here, so does he make it three in a row and two in a row to keep up the momentum from his win this past weekend at Sonoma? Chase Elliott finished second here last year. Can he keep up his momentum from his third place finish this past weekend at Sonoma and finally get his first win in a cup car? Brad Keselowski has a pair of wins at Chicago. Can he pick up his first win of 2018? Like I mentioned earlier, only six different winners through 16 races. Can Brad, Kurt, Denny, Larson, Almirola, Blaney, Johnson, Elliott, Jones, Bowman, Stenhouse, all in the top 16. These guys are all still looking for the first win of 2018 and try to compete with Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick. Can anybody give these two a run for their money at a mile and a half track? We will find out Sunday. Let's get to my picks. Like I said, I've dropped to 20th. I got to start doing better. So nothing fancy with my picks this week. Over to the truck series, I am going with the 21 of Johnny Sauter. In the Xfinity race, I am going with the 00 of Cole Custer. And yep, I am homering out. I am going with the freaky fast four of Kevin Harvick to get it done and pick up his sixth win of the season. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that's a wrap for episode 75, milestone 75. It was a blast. Make sure you check out the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Thank you for all the retweets. Keep them going. So close to 3,000 followers and giving away this awesome prize pack. Huge thanks to Steve Letart for coming on today. Make sure you check out his book, Leading the Way, and tune into NBCSN this weekend to hear Steve on NBC's coverage of Chicago. I'm going to try to get someone next week. We'll see. Not sure with it being the holiday week. We will just have to see what happens. And don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!